this psalm is really about integrity, and Proverbs 28:6 should come into play. Better a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. It really does strike the heart of this text. And you look at the word integrity when you Google or you ask how many times is integrity used in the scripture, amazingly, you'll only find it 22 times. However, the nuance of the word is found many times in scripture, but specifically mentioned 22 times in the Bible. So the question is, what kind of psalm is this? There's a lot of different psalms, but this psalm is a royal psalm. And when I say royal psalm, I mean this, that it was stated or recited at inaugurals of kings. So in other words, King David here, and this psalm would have been sung, by the way, which I am not going to sing. I'm not like the praise team. I don't have the greatest voice. But David would have sung this, and there's three key players in it. David, the king, God, the Savior, and the people. And so King David would have sung this whole psalm, and he actually wanted to start his reign as king by giving this psalm to the people. And I think it's very important to keep the context in mind, yet we can apply it at a secondary level to our lives, particularly when it comes to how we live out our lives before the world. And so let's look at what he says. First of all, he says, commit to God's way, and he mentions love and justice. Now watch this. I will sing of the steadfast love and justice to you, I will make noise. So David obviously is singing this psalm, and it was sung to God, but it was also sung to the people. Now we would maybe today say that it would be an inaugural address to the nation, if you wanted to put it in a context where we could understand it. But there's two key words here that you cannot escape, because these two key words lay the foundation for everything in this psalm that follows. And here they are. Number one is steadfast love, or hesed in the Hebrew, and it means devotion, a steadfast love based on a prior relationship. So he's going to sing of the steadfast love, the hesed love of God, and that love which is based on a prior relationship. When we come to the Old Testament and we see the covenants that God made with the nation of Israel, every theological scholar that I know of that is worth their weight would automatically assume that God's hesed love is tied intimately to his covenant with his people. In other words, when we look at Mount Sinai, God married the nation of Israel by this covenant, and therefore the nation of Israel was given God's hesed love, steadfast love. And when you talk about the steadfast love of God, you are talking about a love that never ends. That kind of reminds me of salvation, God's love for us and how we trust in Jesus Christ. But here, I want to note that this steadfast love focuses on a love that is enduring, a love that is never ending. And that is based on the covenants that God has made with his people. And then today now in the New Testament, he's made a new covenant with us by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's a steadfast love. But then notice what he says, justice, mishpat in the Hebrew, mishpat, very powerful word. And what that means is it refers to deciding cases. Now you can understand now why David is intimately concerned. He is king over the nation of Israel. He says, I want the steadfast love of God. I want the hesed love that God has shown us. I want to be able to show that to the people. But also I want to judge rightly. Mishpat. It's a very powerful word. It means to make decisions based on facts and based on truth. And so David here wants to possess these qualities. And might I say right here, because they are up front and they're not mentioned again, I want to stress the fact that these are foundations for integrity. In other words, I don't think you can have integrity without these two issues coming into play. And I think David very clearly shows this as we move forward. Secondly, he says here, committing to God's way, focus on love and justice, but also he reflects now. Notice what he says. I will ponder the way that is blameless. In the Hebrew language, that's only three words. And the first word is shahal, ponder. That means give attention to something that is very serious. So David realizes, in order to have the hesed love of God and the justice of God, something needs to take place. And what needs to take place is to ponder something seriously, to look at it, to examine it. And then you'll notice he uses the words here, the way or derech. And that means path or road. You may start to put this together a little bit. What David is saying is, I am going to study the road that is blameless. I am going to study God's way. I am going to look at it, and I am going to ponder and focus on what it means to be blameless. That's important. We know later that David would veer from this, but we also have to remember that nobody is perfect, that we are all sinners, and that we are all saved by the grace of God. But I believe at this point, David's heart was bent towards God. And, you know, if we look at our lives, it's not always that way, is it? Our lives are not always bent towards doing what God wants us to do. But David clearly here, you could almost get this sense within him that he really wants this. He really wants the hesed love of God, and he wants the justice of God. He wants to rule with a loving hand his people. Tamim is the Hebrew word. So you have shahal, derech, and tamim. And that word blameless means moral goodness. There are several ways, possible translations, nuance of the word. It can mean perfect, it can mean without defect, or it can mean right. But here, I think it refers to moral goodness. So is it possible then that God's steadfast love and his justice are tied to moral goodness? And I think the case could be made. But the fact is, David really wanted this, and he wanted to spend time. And the only place that I know David could have spent time is looking at those who walk with God, but also in the Torah. Let me remind us today, in order to commit to God's way, we need to have a blameless moral character. This moral character is understood when we apply it from God's justice point, how we look at things, and then the pure love of God. So I think David here has a deep desire, and he's reflecting on this. Now, you notice this little phrase, it's brought up a lot of theological discussions. I think it's overstated, but I think this is what it means. Notice when he says, oh, when will you come to me? He's not talking about God. What is he talking about? Well, if you go back and you look at the language, he's talking about God's hesed love and justice. God was already with David. But what he was saying is, oh, Lord, when will they come to me? In other words, he's admitting to God, I don't have the hesed love, and I don't have the justice that you have. And I am going to do everything that I can, Lord, to attain to that, to become these characteristics. And so I think committing to God's way and committing to his love, his never-ending love, and to his justice, I think we could all come to the conclusion that we're not all there in our own lives. But I think if we commit to his way and commit to doing things God's way, I think God would bless us with those attributes. And then he talks here about walk with integrity. And notice he comes right to the heart. Now notice what he says. I will walk with integrity of heart. So David now makes a decision. Based on the reflection, based on the two attributes that are most important for God's leader to have, he says, I have made a decision. And notice what he says. I will walk with integrity of heart. Tum is the word for integrity, which means a clear conscience, inward morality. Have you ever had something that's been nagging you? You're not sure it's right? David said, I want a clean slate. The word heart, lefav, means thoughts or feelings, and it can also refer to will. So when David is saying these two things, what he is saying is, God, I want to be perfectly clean. I want to be perfectly clean in my heart. When we talk about the New Testament, we know we're positionally righteous. You do know that, right? That when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are positionally righteous. But that does not mean that we don't need periodically to clean out our hearts. David was asking for a tabula rasa. He said, Father, clean my heart out. I want a clean heart. I want a clean conscience. I want to be able to bend to the will of God. And in order to get to God's hesed love and to his justice, you must have a clean heart. And brothers and sisters, there's only one way that I know to get a clean heart in our relationship with God. And you know what that is? That means you have to check your heart. I have to check my heart. And we have to, here's something you don't hear often. You have to repent. You have to ask for forgiveness of stuff that you know is not right in your life, in my life. We need to repent of that. So when David said, give me a clear conscience, clean my heart, I don't want anything foul. He's making a confession before God that he knows something's not right and he wants to start his ministry to the nation of Israel cleanly. But notice this. Notice what he adds here. I think it's significant for the text. I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. Brothers and sisters, that's where integrity starts. C.S. Lewis said it this way. Integrity is doing the right thing even though no one is watching. David is now, he's not particularly concerned at this point about the nation of Israel. What David is concerned about is in my house, where I'm not on stage, where I'm not out in the public eye or the public arena, integrity starts at home. You are no better a Christian than you are what you are in the dark. When you are not on stage, when I am not on stage, we are no better Christian than what we are behind closed doors. And David knows in order to rightly rule his kingdom and to rule the kingdom of God the way God wants it to be ruled, he knows he has to start at home. And I do believe integrity starts at home. He didn't have a Glen Campbell moment. Everybody knows Glen Campbell, Rhinestone Cowboy. I want to be where the lights are shining on me. No, David said, "I don't care about that stuff. What I want in my own home is I want to walk with integrity. Because if integrity does not start in the home, it will not go out when you go outside. You can maybe put up a front, and you can maybe make it appear. But God knows the heart. So David here is really sharing his heart with us, I think. And of course, we all know that he fell, he sinned. He said he wouldn't put anything before his eyes, and he did. But again, I would like to remind us that all of us stumble, all of us fall, all of us come short, and praise God for the grace of God. And praise God that we can simply go to Him and say, Father, I messed up. But shouldn't, not to keep salvation, you guys know where I stand on that. You guys and gals know where I stand on that. But shouldn't that be our heart every morning, is to say, God, please remove the sin from my heart that I might live for You today. And I might live right there in the home. That way when I go out, I can project God's love and His faithfulness. And then He turns His attention to purity. Here we have hearts, and then He turns His attention to purity. Notice what He says, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. And this is, goes through verse 4 or verse 3. Now the first one here, how do you maintain purity? Maintaining purity, first of all, worthless. Anything detestable. Now I want you to think about this. David's not going to set anything before him that is detestable. How many things in our lives could we categorize as detestable? That we look at every day, that we spend time with every day. How many things in your life and mine do we look at and set before our eyes that are detestable? David said, I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that. Now, notice secondly, he says, to fall away, deeds of crookedness. He says, I hate the work of those who fall away. And by the way, fall away means crookedness. It shall not cling to me, davak, which means stick together. So in other words, David said, I don't want crookedness to stick to me. I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me years ago in my first church. You may not think initially it's a big deal, but it was a pretty big deal. I had a the church was growing. We were over 120, 130, and the church was growing, and we decided that we needed pictures of the church so that we could get a portfolio for our church, and we had growing families, and we wanted to have a book so that we could pass out. There was a pastor who worked for a photo company, and I won't mention their names. And he said, you know what, Pastor, if we come in and we set up all these photos and we do the photo op and we put the church directory together, he said, we're going to give you the church directory for free. He said, and it doesn't matter whether anybody buys pictures or not. And I said, well, that sounds good. It was seemed like a reasonable deal. I took it to the deacons and to the boards, and we said, yeah, that sounds fine. They came and they did the, I think it was a 2 or 3 day shoot, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and they took pictures, and people ordered some of the pictures from their families. Then I noticed that 2 or 3 weeks went by, and people were getting their pictures, but what I didn't hear anything about was the church directory. 3 months. This is a pastor. 3 months went by. Nothing. He didn't return our calls. We never got the church directory that we were promised. So I had to stand up in front of the congregation and say, I'm sorry. It looks like we've been had. We didn't pursue anything. But that's not how you want to live your life. That's not how you want to conduct business. Not in my life, not in your life. When you say you're going to do something, you do it. And you do not cheat, lie, or steal to get what you want. Because I will tell you this, and David can confirm it, God will not bless that. You need to, you and I both, and I say I confessionally, we need to make sure that the deals that we do are honest and fair. And that we live and project what it, so project Jesus Christ. So when he told me he was a pastor, I automatically gave him some integrity. You see how that worked? And the church never got it, never did, and we finally just gave up. I don't know how he lived with himself. Maybe he didn't. Maybe God fixed it. There's a lot of times God fixes stuff, brothers and sisters, that you know nothing about. He says also the word here, evilness, or crooked thoughts. Look at this. This is something, this is outward, this is inward. And I think that the inward leads to the outward. Now notice what he says. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. Perverse means crooked emotions, the heart. So you have perverse, crooked heart emotions. I will not have crooked emotions. Wow. I think these make a perfect sandwich when you're talking about how not to live a life. And I think what David is driving at here is you've got to fix the heart. You got to fix the heart. Because if the heart's not fixed and the heart is crooked, everything that you do in your life and my life is going to reflect it. Brothers and sisters, I've seen a lot of Christians. And I've seen businessmen that were Christian. And I just don't know how you get from here to there with that type of mindset. That you're going to connive and twist and turn and try to... That's not how we do business in the kingdom of God. That is not. If I had to try to do that to get what I want, it ain't worth it. And even if you do get it, it's not worth it because God won't bless it. So David's saying here, hey, I'm not going to set this before my eyes. I hate the work of those who are crooked, and I'm not going to let this affect my heart to cause more problems. Lastly, and this leads to making wise decisions. Notice verses 5, 7, and 8. And this is avoid evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. We all know what this is. It's right here. That means to falsely accuse somebody else of something, or to slander them, to say, hey, you know about da 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 da, that's the slander. And by the way, that can really hurt churches, and it can also hurt our testimony and our witness before a lost world. And by the way, if we're doing that out in the world, don't we lose a little bit of our credibility? Because think of it this way. If you talk about somebody at work behind their back, and yet you claim to be a Christian, doesn't that diminish the Christian message? Particularly when somebody at work says, well, aren't you a believer? It makes it difficult. It makes it difficult to kind of recover from that. But it literally means to speak falsehood. Now notice what he says, whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. He's talking here about arrogance. Proverbs 16:5 says it this way, the Lord detests the proud, they will certainly be punished. Again, this is a big problem. And you know where it's a big problem? Among pastors. Pastors can fall into this really, really easily. I knew a young man when I was taking courses over at Lincoln. I'm waiting because he's so prideful. I'm waiting for that fall. And, you know, I won't know it, but God knows. But this can happen not only with pastors, and David's saying this, but it can also happen with us. And here's the thing. What do we have to be prideful about? Seriously. If my best is as filthy rags before God, how much boasting can I do? the only reason that we can boast in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross so that we can go to heaven. Other than that, we have nothing to be prideful about, nothing to say, look at how wonderful this is. Look how wonderful I am. We can't do that. So if we're crooked in heart and we're prideful and we're slandering, and this is not a good combination. I'll tell you what that's a combination for. It's a combination for disaster. So we need to be careful. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. Now, notice what David's saying is, now he's kind of extended this. In his house, he's going to walk with integrity. And by the way, anybody that wants to come into my house cannot have these characteristics either. And by the way, you know, when you talk about the White House and the presidency, whoever gets to be president should make sure that the people that they have coming into their realm are people of integrity. This is what David's saying. If you put it on a national level, at least in David's case, he's saying anybody that comes in into my house, into my domain and serves me is not going to be people who are arrogant or slander. And notice what he says. No one who utters lies shall come before my eyes. You know what David's saying? He's saying, no, we don't have anything to discuss. Brothers and sisters, there are people in your life and my life that we should not have anything to do with. When somebody is arrogant, when they are not following God, when they are living the way they want to live and they are crooked and they just do not have the integrity of Jesus Christ, you are under no obligations to have anything to do with them. Now, I put this before, you can go talk to the person and try to work it out and explain this is what's going on, but there are times in your life when sometimes it is not good to have people in your life. And if you're looking for a spouse, you don't compromise the Christian code. You don't compromise and say, well, because I'm not dating people, I'm just going to go with this guy or I'm going to go with this girl. No, you make sure that they are believers before you even venture into that. And then you test their character, test who they are in Christ. Because David said, you're not coming into my house. You're not coming into my domain. You're not coming in anywhere near me. Notice what he says. Morning by morning, this is in verse 8. Morning by morning, I will destroy all the works in the land, cutting off all evil from the city of the Lord. So David now has made his stand. And again, I want to caution us. Again, I know we all stumble and fall at times. But we should aim for perfection. We should aim to be like Jesus. And then lastly, avoid evil, cling to godliness. I'm Aleph Minun. That's the Hebrew. I will look with favor on the faithful and in the faithful in the land. And what that means is a literal translation, at least how I translate this, is this way. My eye will set on and support the trustworthy. Do you know there's an old saying that I think is pretty good? Bad friends corrupt good morals. Do you see the choice David is making here? He's saying, these people over here, I want nothing to do with them. But those who are godly and those who are following Christ, I'm going to shake hands with these people. They are going to be part of me. These are the people that I'm going to hang with. These are the people that are going to be in my circle. The ones who are following God, not the ones who are arrogant, not the ones who lie, not the ones who are crooked, not the ones who do these awful deals, not any of those. You see how God's faithful love and justice are starting to come to David. He asks the question, when will you come to me? It's going to come to him as he starts to make the best choices, make wise choices. And excellent. David surrounded himself with people who were godly. You know, isn't that what we should do in our lives? It doesn't mean that you're mean to the lost and I'm not saying that at all. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be out there witnessing to people that are lost. And I'm not saying that you should just remove yourself from them. But what I am saying is that you don't need to stay with them. Your primary thing should be having godly people around you. And you know what having godly people around you will do? It will encourage you to be more godly. It will encourage you to become more like Christ. Now notice what he says. He who walks in the way that is blameless, tamim or integrity, shall minister to me. In other words, David said, my cabinet is going to be people that are people of integrity that love God. And in other words, surround yourself with good friends. Friends that love Jesus. Let me ask you a question. How much do we have in common with darkness? Here's the answer. None. If there's somebody in your life that is godless, that you've talked to over and over again, I see no problem saying, look, I don't need you in my life. Because I'm following the way of God and I don't want you in my life. And young kids, young people, you gotta make wise choices. You look at the character and integrity of the person and you can truthfully say, I want them in because I know that they're following Christ. Or I don't want them in because they're not following Christ. And David, I think, starting to realize here that he would then have this hesed love and the justice necessary to enact that love. Let me say this in a nutshell. If you clean out your heart in the morning and say, God, I want you to just take away everything, my sin. And then you say, God, help me today to make wise choices. Help me to live in such a way that would please you. And help me be wise in what I do and what I say. I think God would bless it. I think God would do great things. And then say to yourself, I am not going to cheat to get what I want. Because you have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who will give you what you need. You do not need to cheat, lie, steal to get what you want. Whether it's a promotion, a house, boyfriend, whatever. You don't need that. What you need to do, what does the New Testament say? Listen to me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of these things will be added unto you. You worry about your life and taking care of the direction God has for you and seeking to walk with integrity. And I guarantee you, God will give you what you need, not always what you want. And by the way, I might add, be careful what you want because you may actually get it. Integrity. I think it's huge. And every one of us at some point in our lives have messed up and not done these things correctly. So I want to encourage you today to try to live with integrity. Go back and read this psalm several times and go back through and say, tomorrow morning I'm going to hit the ground running with this. You want to do that? Let's pray.